Hi, my name is Peter. Let's pray. Father God, watch over us this morning as we hear your word. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this morning I want to begin with by getting you to focus on just one word. The word is worthless. Worthless. Do you sometimes feel worthless? When I was a boy, when I was in school, I often felt worthless. I have one clear story, one very clear memory. I remember the day I said the wrong thing to the wrong person. The wrong thing to the wrong person. He and some of his friends grabbed me firmly and took me into the toilet block at school. They pushed me into a cubicle and made me kneel in front of the toilet bowl. They then pushed my head into the toilet bowl and flushed the toilet. How did I feel at that moment? The answer is worthless. Do you know what it's like to feel worthless? Do you sometimes feel worthless? I think there are days when we all feel worthless. You can feel worthless when your children do not love you. You can feel worthless when you are not the person you imagine yourself to be. A few weekends ago, I was reading a newspaper. I was sitting down on a Saturday morning in the sun. I read an interview with Helen Garner. Helen Garner is perhaps Australia's most famous living writer. She was being interviewed because her diaries have just been released. They have just been published. Now, this is what she said in the interview. This is what she said about herself. For a lot of the time, I actually feel I'm a very small piece of vomit. Not just as a writer, you know. She's famous, she's rich. She says, there are times when I feel like a small piece of vomit. This shocked the person interviewing her. He said to her, surely you do not feel like that now. This is how she responds. She says, not at this minute, I don't. But I do actually feel quite a notable number of times a feeling of worthlessness, almost non-existence. I would call that an existential crisis. Now, do you experience that? This sense that you have no value, that you some days feel that you are worthless. I think we all do. Psychologists talk about this. They talk about it in terms of our need to belong, our longing to belong. You just can't wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I'm a wonderful person. I just love me. We're social people, relational people. We need other people to say to us that we're worthwhile, that we're worth loving. Tim Keller says, only if we are approved and loved by someone whom we esteem can we achieve self-esteem. We need someone we respect to respect us. We need someone we love, someone we admire to admire us. What do you need if you are going to be whole, content, happy. All the research says that you need to belong. Our primary human need beyond food and shelter is to belong, to know that you are fully known and fully loved. I want you to look at something. I'll try and bring this up. Press the right button. Look at that. There we go. I want you to look briefly at this diagram, at this sheet, this chart. I want you to begin on the left-hand side, right at the top. See, if you are known but not loved, you feel rejected. If you are not known and not loved, you will feel ignored and rejected. That's the pit. That's curl up in a fetal ball and want to die day. At the bottom on the other side, if you're not known but loved, that means you just want to fit in. You go with the flow. At the top, when you are known, and fully loved, you belong, you fit. That's joy. Now think for a moment about those four boxes. Where do you think you live most days? Today, where are you? You're sitting here in church on a Sunday morning. Known but not loved. Not known, not loved. Not known but loved. Fully known, fully loved. Where do you think you are this morning? Which box do you think you inhabit? I work as a chaplain at La Trobe University. Recently I had a student come to me. We talked about this. Her questions were, am I good enough for God? Am I worthy of his love? Could God love somebody like me? She feels not known, not loved. She wants to know if the living God knows and loves her. How would you answer the question? That's what I want to talk about today. The answer God gives in the Bible is in John chapter 1, verse 12. I'll see if it comes up. Oh, too late, too early. Go back. In chapter 1, verse 12, the answer is, yet to all who believe him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, what is Christianity? What is the Christian story? What is the Christian message? The Christian message is that the Word became flesh to make you his flesh, his family. The Word became flesh to make you his flesh, his family. The Word became flesh to make you his flesh, his family, to bring you into a family where you're fully known and fully loved. Now that was new to her. She'd grown up with the story that in order to be accepted and welcomed by God, you had to earn it, you had to be good enough. That is not the Christian message. The Christian message is that the Word became flesh to make you his flesh, his family. I want to show you that this morning. I want to talk to you about the story John tells about Jesus. So if you've got a Bible, pick it up, look at John chapter 1. That's where we're going to start this morning. This is how John begins his biography of Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Now think about what John is saying. John is telling you that the story of Jesus did not begin when he was born in Bethlehem. Before Jesus was born in a shed, he was the Word. And he tells you three things about the Word. First, he says the Word is eternal. The Word has no beginning. There was never a time when the Word did not exist. Second, he says that the Word was with God. This Word is alive, living. Lastly, he says the Word is God. The Word is God because he's always shared everything God is and does. The Word fully reflects who God is. What's John telling you about God? He's telling you that God is not a single person. He tells you why. God fundamentally is a communicator, a giver, someone who shares. The Word comes from God, the Word was with God, the Word is God. God and the Word are distinct, but inseparably one. What was this God doing before he made the universe? And the answer Jesus gives is that of a father loving his son. What was God doing before he made the world? A father loving his son, and this love is shared in and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' message is that God is a loving unity of three. A Trinity. A Trinity united by love. And this love is the origin of all things. Why do we long to belong? Why do we need to be loved? John is saying it's because you've been made by this God. You've been made in his image. You have been made to desire something other than yourself. And that's why the story the Bible tells from Genesis to Revelation is a love story. The story of God's love for humanity. It's the story about what God has done and is doing to bring humanity, to bring you into his family. See, look at verse 14. This is where we want to focus this morning. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. That is the story of Christmas in just four words. Now, in the old Latin translation of the Bible, the word used is carnis. C-A-R-N-I-S. Carnis. The Word became carnis. Now, that word is the source of the word incarnation. It's also the source of the word chili con carne. What is chili con carne? It is chili with meat. What is John saying? The Word, the eternal Word, the creator of heaven and earth, became meat. Solid flesh. Flesh that got a nappy rash. Flesh that got pimples. Flesh that got burnt on a hot day. Flesh that could be cut. Flesh that could bleed. Flesh that could be killed. Think for a moment about how you might speak to a frightened child. You would crouch down, you would get low. You would stoop to her level. That is precisely what God has done in Christ. God has come in Christ in a way that we can recognize and handle. This is how Paul talks about the incarnation in Philippians 2. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, this is how the Word became flesh. He gave up his glory, not his divine attributes. The Word became flesh while remaining fully God. Jesus is both fully God and fully human. Two natures in one person. He is the man God became. He is the one person who was completely divine, completely human. The author of Hebrews says that he learned obedience. Learned obedience through what he suffered. He was tempted in every way as we are, but he did not sin. So you think for a moment about what happens in a game of soccer when a player is injured. When a player is injured, a substitute takes her place. That is why the Word became flesh. We're all injured, all broken, all flawed. Jesus came to trade places with us. He came to do what we cannot do. He came to live the life we do not live. He came to die the death we deserve to die. See, listen to what Jesus says about this in John 12. Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Now Jesus is very clear, isn't he? Verse 27, he says, he came to die. He came to take upon himself the judgment we all deserve for the many ways we fail to honour the living God, the way we fail to love the God who gives life. He says in verse 23 that when he dies, he will be glorified. He will display the glory of God before a watching world. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Why did the Word become flesh? John says in verse 14, to display God's glory, a glory that is full of grace and truth. Full of grace because when Jesus hangs on a cross, he displays the depth of God's love for humanity. He is willing to give up his life for you. You are so loved that he's willing to die. It is full of truth because when he hangs on a cross, he reveals the gravity of our situation. We are so flawed, so broken, sinful, that he had to die. And when you embrace this truth, that you are so flawed that he had to die, so loved that he's willing to die, you'll experience God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness. You'll be adopted into his family. You will be fully known and fully loved. Do you sometimes feel worthless? It's Christmas. There will be moments, no doubt, when you feel worthless. Relationships at Christmas are difficult sometimes. You can feel worthless. Worthless when people reject you, when people are critical of you, when you are burdened by your mistakes. I'm a chaplain at La Trobe. A student comes to me and says, "Am I good enough for God? Am I worthy of his love? Could God love somebody like me?" She feels worthless, and my response to her is, feeling worthless is like a door. Open it, because it'll take you into the heart of the living God. It is where you meet God. In the darkness, in your need. This is Christianity. The Word became flesh to make you his flesh, his family. Embrace this message. Embrace the truth. The truth that you are so flawed that Jesus had to die, so loved that he's willing to die. You'll experience God's grace. You'll be lifted up. Embrace this message and it will radically transform your life. Some days you will feel arrogant and proud. You need to know that you are so flawed that Jesus had to die. There are days you will need to be humble, to be humbled. There are other days when you will feel so low, so flawed that you will need to be lifted up, so loved that he's willing to die. You understand this, you embrace this, totally transform you. It'll make you a humble person. It'll stop you looking down on other people, judging other people, somehow communicating to other people that they're not good enough for God. We're all so flawed that Jesus had to die. All of us. Understand this message, it'll give you a great confidence because you'll know that you are loved by the eternal God. You'll be lifted up. You'll know your worth. What does John 3:16 say? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That is Christianity. Embrace it today. Let it lift you up. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Almighty God, in those moments when we feel low, when we are brought down, when we feel worthless, help us then to hear your word to us, that we are so flawed that Jesus had to die, so loved that he is willing to die. When we're rejected, when we're brought down, turn our face to you. Draw us to yourself. Help us to understand more deeply that the Word became flesh to make us His flesh, His family. Help us to know that when we put our faith and hope and love in Christ, that we are fully known and fully loved. Help us to know that with you, we are home. We belong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.